If you would, let's open up our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16. As Brother Danny mentioned, we haven't passed the plate around for a long time because of COVID. Just trying to restrict some things, getting back to that, so we're kind of not all 100% used to it. So I'll leave that up there if you didn't get a chance to put your tithe in. You're more than welcome to come up after service or whenever you have a chance. Let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for, again, another beautiful day that you've given to us, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for spring. Dear Lord, it's always a good feeling of spring, dear Lord, to feel the warmer weather, dear Lord, to see the trees to come alive, the flowers, the plants, all these things, the birds. Just everything seems to be bursting, dear Lord. And Heavenly Father, we don't believe that it just was happened that you went to the cross this time of the year. And dear Lord, you tried to show man that what seemed to be dead in the winter, what seems to be not alive or not vibrant. We don't see the things in the middle of January and December like we do today. And the only Father, as they put you in a tomb and you were dead and you were buried in that tomb, and the only Father, 3 days you arose from the grave. Yes. And dear Lord, amen. Alive to live forevermore, dear Lord, and the only Father to come and to live within our hearts and our souls, our minds. Amen. And dear Lord, just that same example, as Lord, as we ride around during January and February and December and see the trees that there's no leaves on them and the brownness of the grass and then the plants and everything died. But dear Heavenly Father, as spring comes forward and things burst into its beauty, dear Lord, and dear Heavenly Father, I believe it's a representation of a living Christ, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, we're thankful for this, dear Lord. We're thankful for the spiritual application we can have, dear Lord. We ask you to be with each and every one of us. That's our desire, dear Lord, as a minister, as a pastor, dear Heavenly Father, to get each soul, dear Lord, to have a spiritual mindset, dear Heavenly Father, to have a spiritual desire, dear Heavenly Father, yes, to want to follow Christ, dear Lord. So we ask you to be with us this morning. We're thankful for each one that's here this morning. We ask you to allow the Spirit of God, we sang the song, let the fire fall on me. Yes. And Lord, that's a part. We open our arms and our hearts and our minds. Lord, what you have for me, dear Heavenly Father, sometimes it can be harsh through the Spirit of God. Sometimes it can be gentle, dear Lord, but it's always good for us, dear Heavenly Father, and we're thankful for that. So we ask you to be with us. We ask you to anoint me, that I'll bring the word just as you would have me to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 16. No doubt a very familiar verse of Scripture. I quote it, read it, mention it many times. We'll pick up here in verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of the Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say, thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed and heaven. Then charged he the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. As I mentioned, this is probably one of my favorite scriptures. I don't know if I have a favorite scripture or a favorite song. Might be some that I might pick out among others, depending on different times. But this is a favorite scripture. There's so much to preach on and so many topics that you can use, and I've used many of them, and I've mentioned it many times in my preaching. But I enjoy this. There's just so much. There's so much clarity here. There's so much easy to understand and comprehend as Jesus speaks to his disciples. And I believe it's just straightforward. It's just very, very basic and very easy to understand these. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" So Jesus, we understand that Jesus knows everything.
Amen.
He never asks the question because he wants that information.
Amen.
Because he's trying to find the information. We ask questions sometimes because we may not know the situation and we desire to know something about it because we don't know. Jesus never one time asked a question because he didn't know. He knew every single detail about what they were going to say and what they didn't know or understand themselves. But he asked the question to get there, and that's a part of preaching many a times, and preaching to stir up our pure minds, to just stir our minds up, to get us to think, to get us to reflect on the things of God. He asked them a question to try to get them to understand and comprehend who he truly was, because really at this particular time, I believe as Peter told him, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God," I believe they knew who he was. They had confidence that he was the Messiah. They knew that. But the depth of what they knew, I don't know if they had a full comprehension until after Pentecost, really. But he asked them a question, and he wanted to know these things. And he said, "What do others say when you're out there among the places, your family or your shopping or whatever, and the same with us today? What do people say about me?" Jesus says. What do they say about me? Who do they say that I am? And we face the same thing today. You can ask a lot of people, "Who is Jesus?" And you may get different ideas.
Oh, yes.
Some people may not even know who he is at all. Some may know who he is. They may give you some different ideas. But he's the same thing. Jesus asked that very same question to these. And he could ask that same question to us today, I believe. We see that many times in the Bible, we see a man named Nicodemus. Over in John chapter 3, you can read when Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He came to Jesus and he asked him a question. Nicodemus asked Jesus a question. He goes, "Master, we know that you are a teacher come from God." That's what he said. Nicodemus said, "I know you're a teacher because no man can do these things that you could do except he were from God." But he didn't have a comprehension that he was the Christ, the Messiah. Now, thank God Nicodemus finally came to that place, because we see when Jesus Christ was crucified and at the cross, him and Joseph of Arimathea, they're the ones that took him off the cross, and they were the ones that were associated with Jesus, put their life on the line, so to speak, to help with the burial. We see the time when Philip talked to Nathanael. You remember that? When Jesus started his ministry and some of the disciples were called and Philip found Nathanael, he goes, "We found the Christ." He goes, "Come and see him. We've seen the one, the Messiah." And Nathanael said, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" So Nathanael, still, I don't really know who he is either. You tell me he's the Messiah, but I don't know. Of course, I'm not going into the rest of that story. We see Paul on the road to Damascus when the light shone around him and he looked up and he said, "Lord," he recognized that it was God. He says, "Who are you?"
Amen.
And Jesus had to let him know, "I am the Christ whom you persecuted."
Amen.
We see another incident, one more here with Herod. Remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate and Pilate found out he was of Jesus was of Herod's jurisdiction, and Pilate tried to relieve himself of any association. He sends him to Herod. And when Herod hears that he's coming, he's excited to see this man Jesus because he heard so many things. But he didn't know Jesus of who he really truly was. So when the disciples answered Jesus, when Jesus asked him this question, they said, "Who do men say?" Jesus says, "Who do men say that I am?" And in verse 14, they gave him some answers. Some said, "You're John the Baptist." Some Elias. Or Jeremiah. Or one of the prophets. But then Jesus asked them a question. "Who do you say I am?" I don't know. I don't really believe Jesus really was as much concerned about who other people thought about him. But I know that he was wanting them to know. And we can say the same. We're going to get in a little bit of the message here in just a moment. We may say the same thing. We may say we know Jesus as the Lord and Savior. But there's more of a depth to that. There's more of a revelation to that. And Jesus was asking them, who do men say that I am? And, well, this one says that one says this. I brought a message some years ago, and my topic of that message, well, who do you say that I am, Jesus Christ says, out there in the world? When they say, oh, you're John the Baptist, you're Elias, you're Jeremiah, you're one of the prophets, but who do you tell people I am? Am I the Christ to you? Am I your Savior? Am I your everything in your life? So Jesus asked them the question, who do you say I am? Who am I to you? Not only to those out there, but who am I to you? And of course, we see Peter very bold and quickly to answer in verse 16, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Let's jump down to verse 18. I want to look at my thought for this morning. And Jesus says here, verse 18, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus tells them here, I'm going to build a church. Jesus Christ has a church.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has a church, and that church belongs to Jesus and Him only. It doesn't belong to us. This building that we are sitting in is not a church.
Amen.
This is a place that God's people, His church, comes to assemble together and worship Jesus Christ. This is not a place. This is not a church for to say of a building. We as the saints here, we own the building. But Jesus Christ purchased the church with His own blood. The church of God belongs to Him.
Yes, amen.
Those that are saved, those that are a part of the kingdom of God, they belong to Him. He bought it.
Amen.
He paid for it.
Amen.
He's the one that can say who's in it.
Amen. Praise God. Yes.
I mentioned many times, we don't have a church book.
Amen.
I don't have a church book anywhere around.
Praise
We've
God.
Never had a church book where you can sit it here and say, well, you've been coming for 2 or 3 weeks or a month or 6 months and you're paying tithes or you're doing whatever, you've been baptized, we're going to put your name on the church book.
Amen.
If that ever is ever suggested to you, I suggest that you leave as quickly as you possibly can. Because no man can put you in the church. No man can put you out of church. Only Jesus Christ
Amen.
Can put you in the
Praise
church
God.
By being
yes.
born again by the blood of Jesus
yes.
Christ, as we
Amen.
Talked last week.
Amen.
He bought it. He paid for it. He's the only one that can make you a member of the church.
Amen.
Over in Isaiah, it says that the government shall be upon His shoulders. Thank God for that.
Yes, amen.
I thank God that He's the government.
For that truth.
He's the king.
Amen.
In our terms today, He's the president. He's the counselors. He's the board. He's everything.
Yes, it is.
You will never find an amendment to this. You know why? Because it was perfect.
Done right the first
time. It was perfect. What's that?
Done right the first time.
That's right. You know what amendments are there for. And I understand amendments. People, in their period of time, they make a law. And they make a law today. 10 or 15 years down the road, things in life can change. And we may have to make an addendum to that law because things change. Just things change. Well, God made to set the word of God in order. Never, ever does it have to change. There's never been an added to or a take away. And He even tells us back over there in Revelation, anyone that adds to or takes away, He'll take away from him from the word of God also, the life of the book.
Yes.
So Christ is the government. Christ has made the law. Christ set the law. And everything will be followed by and through Him. The Bible says that He's the door.
Yes. Amen.
No man can come to the Father except through Christ.
Amen.
I am the door. If you want to enter in, you have to enter in by the door, which is Jesus Christ. Any man comes any other way, he's a thief or a robber.
Amen.
Jesus Christ holds the books. I'm talking spiritually and physically here. We all understand some governmental things. He has the books. Again, back over Revelation, He says there are many books that are open.
Yes, amen. You're right.
He's the one that has the books. He's the one that has the laws. And in verse 18 there, He makes a comment here. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Praise God. Glory to God for the truth.
If you're in sin this morning, if there's sin in your life and you haven't repented from sin, you're in the prison house of the enemy.
Yes.
You were bound in jail spiritually.
Amen.
You're bound.
True. Yes.
And you know what happens when somebody has bound you, when somebody ties you up, when somebody handcuffs you, when somebody takes hold of you? You're under their control fully.
Yes.
I don't have the option. If somebody were to handcuff me and tie me to some structure that is not movable and an altar, I don't have the ability to walk out anymore. I don't have the ability to move around freely anymore.
Yes.
I don't have the ability to eat what I want to eat. They feed me what I want. They give to me what they want me to drink. They supply everything to me.
Amen.
And when we're in sin, we're a prisoner of the enemy of the soul, which is the devil. And we a lot of times, we don't look at it that way. We don't associate it, sin that way, that we're bound until you become free.
Now,
I understand sometimes there are some people, and the natural things of life, they'd have no problem living in a jail. I can't comprehend that. But they have, and I can go into different ideas of why that is, but they don't have a problem. But you don't understand the bondage that people are in sin until you've been freed from that bondage. And Jesus Christ says here, I will build my church and the gates of hell. Thank God Jesus, or the devil, has many people behind his gates in sin and bondage. But thank God when a soul desires to be freed from that, they don't have power. I don't have power to free myself from sin. I don't have power to get out of sin. Just like the children of Israel back in Egyptian bondage. When they were there, they were in bondage. They had no ability of themselves to get out of bondage.
Yes.
God had to send Moses to deliver them. And Moses was just a worker for God. God did all the work. God did the works to get Pharaoh to understand that he was God. And for Pharaoh to finally set the people free. But it took the power of God to bring the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage.
Yes.
It takes the power of God to deliver you from sin.
Amen.
You don't just walk out. You don't walk up to the gates of hell and say, you know what? I'm done. I want to leave. You cannot.
Amen.
You're bound.
Yes.
And Jesus says here in verse 18, he goes, I'll build my church. And when I see a soul in the pit, in the pits of sin and in the pits of hell there of the devil's chains and his bondage, when I see a soul that desires to come free, that wants out of this, thank God the gates of hell have no power for me. I can reach in there and I can pull them out, thank God.
Yes.
And every single one of us in here that have claimed to be saved, thank God he did that for you and I one day.
Amen.
We didn't have power. God talked to our heart. God, in a sense, we're in that bondage. And God showed us something on the other side of that prison gate. He showed us something that was enjoyable. He showed us peace. He showed us contentment. He showed us a wonderful life and gave us a hungering, as the brother said, a desire for the things of God.
Yes, amen.
And we say, Lord, I want that.
That's true.
And God sends a spirit in there. He says, you're coming out if you want. And the gates of hell cannot prevent Christ from bringing one person out of sin's bondage.
Amen.
There's a song that we sing, Shackled by a Heavy Burden. One of the phrases of that song. The gates of hell cannot prevent Jesus Christ from delivering a soul from there.
Amen.
You know, the thief that was on the cross, his fate, in one sense, seemed to be sealed. There was two thieves on the cross with Jesus. And both of them at one time, they mocked Christ. And both of them at one time said, if you're really the Christ, get us off of here. Get yourself off and get us off too. They both said it. The one thief, he ended up dying. And as far as we know, he went to a devil's hell. The other thief, in one sense, the devil was sitting there watching both of these thieves. And if you allow me to draw a picture, sort of wringing his hands, he says, their fate is sealed. And a little bit, they're going to be mine for all eternity. But Christ got a hold of one of them's heart. And right before eternity started for that man, just hours before, the gates of hell were broken and he was released from them. He was delivered from hell. And today he lives for all eternity in the things of, and the presence of God.
Amen.
Sometimes it may seem like there's no hope. But when there's Christ, there's still hope.
Amen.
Amen.
That's true.
How do we become a member of God's church? Let's read verse 16 and 17 again.
Good question.
And Peter, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." How do we become a member of Christ's church? Not this church. We don't have a process of how you become a member in a natural way, somewhat with some people. You can go to many other churches and they'll you can ask them, "How do I become a member of the church?" And they may give you some ideas. They may tell you, "Well, you just come to church, we'll make you a member." But in order to become a member of the only one church that there truly is, and that's the church that Jesus Christ built, you have to become born again. You have to have a revelation from God that Jesus Christ is the Son.
Yes, amen.
A revelation. A spiritual understanding that he is Christ. And that's what Simon said here when he said that, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I wasn't going to go into this part of it here, but just to clarify some things. The church was not built on Peter.
Amen.
We have a marquee out there, and there's a sign on that marquee that says the Church of God. Now, that just means that we're a church of God. God owns it. I read it to you already. God owns it. God bought it. God purchased it. It belongs to him. We're his children. We're God's children. We're his church.
Yes.
You may see marquees and signs out there and all kinds of different names. You can go in the phone book. I say phone book. I don't know if anybody's even have a phone book anymore. But, yes. But I did it years ago. I went in a phone book. And pages for Baltimore metropolitan area is pages and pages and pages and pages and pages of churches. And they have used Peter's name. The church that Peter built. The church that John built, the church that Paul built, the church of the brethren, the Ark of the Covenant, all these names. Jesus Christ built one church.
Amen.
One church. And Peter made a comment here to him, and I want to go a little bit further here. We're not going to go down in there a little bit. But Peter said, "Thou art the church," and he said, "Blessed are you, Peter." Jesus did not build the church on Peter, nor did later on in the verses there, going on down in there, I didn't even read on down to 21, 22 there. I'll just read it for you for get the whole thought here. Let's pick up in verse 21. For the time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must come to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So Jesus was trying to explain to the disciples this thing is going to happen. Then verse 22, and Peter took him. I said that Peter took him. I guess Peter kind of got right with him and maybe held him or put his hand on his shoulders and said, "Peter," and began to rebuke him. He began to rebuke Jesus and said, "Far be it unto thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Now, Jesus was human, okay? And there was probably a human part of Jesus. You know, this is good. I like Peter being bold with this. But verse 23, and he turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He was not calling Peter Satan. He was not calling Peter the devil. He'd, "Get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me." For what he was saying here with Peter there. So he was saying the enemy was trying to influence Peter. The enemy was trying to influence Peter to encourage Jesus not to go to the cross. But he was not calling Peter the devil. Just like he didn't say earlier that he was building the church on Peter. What he was building the church on is what Peter, the revelation that Peter had. Jesus said, upon this rock. Back here in verse 17, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father hath revealed it unto thee. And in verse 18, and he said unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? The rock was truth.
Amen.
That was what the rock was.
He is the rock.
Upon this rock of truth that you said, Peter, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living, upon this revelation that my Father has revealed something to you, Peter, upon this is how I will build my church. So I want to become a member of Christ's church. God will reveal it to you. It can be revealed through the preaching of the word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of the word. It can be revealed through the preaching of the word, and you accept truth. Lord, I accept truth. And God will show you about the church, his church.
Yes, amen.
And he said there, Peter, my Father hath revealed this to you, and God has revealed the Son to Peter. A revelation. Have you experienced a revelation in your life from God yet?
Amen.
Thanks, Lord.
Here's a, I guess, a song. Sometimes it's sang. I think it's a song that's sang. But I think it's over there in John. I think it's in John where Jesus walking and they seen the blind man sitting there. And Jesus, of course, healed the blind man later. But the same revelation of that story, the young man said, I was once blind. But now I see. It's that dramatic. It's that real. I was blind. If you're physically blind, I understand a lot. Many of us here remember Philip from years ago. And I remember hearing, I don't know who it was that told me, he was blind. He was in an automobile accident, or I think it was an automobile accident, many years ago. And he had lost both of his eyes. I was told that he could be taken outside and a beautiful, bright, sunny day, and he could look straight at the sun and had no idea the sun was out. You know, I could close my eyes. I could see that light. I could see a little bit of that light. And if you were to turn that light off, I could tell the light went off. He couldn't tell that. I think Sister Anna, them, they'd go in his house, his apartment there, help. He didn't have any lights on in the middle of the night. Why do I need lights? I can't see anyway. Well, we need lights to see, you know. But he's totally blind. To be totally blind, that's the understanding. That's what it's like when you're in sin. You don't have a comprehension of anything spiritual.
Amen.
Well, when God saves you, it's like the lights came on and you have a visual understand spiritually. The blind man that was born blind, when he stood before the council, even with his parents, and he said, who did heal you? And he don't really know. Because when Jesus got down on the ground and he made some little mud pies and put it on his eyes, I believe that was the man, and he told him, he says, I need you to go wash. And by the time he went and washed, Jesus had already gone away. And he received his sight. And they took him to the council and they even brought his parents in. And they said, we know that this is our son, but we don't know how he received his sight. And they kept asking. And the son finally got to a point and he made that comment. He goes, one thing I know.
I was blind,
but now I see. Thank God that's the same spiritual application. It's the same way when Jesus Christ saves us. I once blind, but now I can see and have an understanding and a comprehension of the word of God. The man went out. He left the council. He went out and got all by himself. And Jesus Christ came and found him. Oh, it chokes me up when I say this part of it. And Jesus asked him. I forget how he turned to whatever. He asked him something. He says, I lost my thought what it was. I don't know if that's in John 8. Anyway, Jesus asked him a question about how he sees. How do you see now? How do you see? And he says, the one, that's what Jesus said to him. He goes, the one that touched you is who you see. The one that healed you is who you're seeing right now. He had him understand that his physical eyes are able to see Christ now. And the same thing with us. When we get saved, spiritually we'll have an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Just as Peter did there, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1, picking up in verse 20. Which were wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Verse 21 there, it says that all things, that in every name that name that is named, not only in this world, but also in which is to come. Jesus Christ is head over all things.
Amen.
All principalities, all powers, all dominions over everything. Everything will bow to him. The enemy of the soul will one day bow to him and be cast into a lake of fire. All kings, all the presidents, every single soul will bow to him one day. All things are under his authority, verse 22. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him the head over all things to the church. Christ is the head.
Amen.
You know, when you are born into this world, you have a mom and dad. They're the rules. They make the rules. They tell you when to get up, when to go to bed, brush your teeth, get a shower, get a bath, when to eat. They tell you everything for your benefit. It's all for your benefit. Christ doesn't. He's not someone that's harsh. He doesn't someone that wants to rule you. He wants to do these things for your benefit. And if we're willing to follow, what a blessing of life he'll give it to you. He says he is head over all things. In verse 23, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth and all in all. He has dominion over everything. And as I said, not only in this world, but in the world to come, head over all things. And in the last part there of verse 22, he says, and gave him to be head over all things to the what?
Church.
Is there an S there? There's no S. Singular, one. He built one church. And you're a member of his one church. And you'll comply to his one church, his rules, his guides, his orders, with a desire, or you can't be a part of Jesus Christ's church.
Amen.
He built it. He made the rules. He made the laws.
He is the judge.
There's no... In our years and recent years, different things have happened in our world. And there have been churches that have gotten together. I hear of some of them. All that's kind of behind us a little bit now. But their churches have gotten together. Their board has to get together and make a decision whether we're going to accept certain things. The Bible has already condemned those things. There's no need to accept them.
That's true. Amen.
But the churches have made an amendment to their own laws and accepted it above God's laws. And no longer a part of God's church. You say, well, how do I know if I'm in the right church? See what they're preaching? My grandfather, I've told you this one time, Aunt Sissy, my aunt and her father. My grandfather built a church down the street from where I live at, my sister and I live. And he used to attend there. He got saved and went to attend there. And Aunt Sissy had came here one time. And she came here, got invited. She heard that they did the Lord's Supper, ordinance service and feet washing. She said they heard they did this. She went back and told her father. And her father came here and he heard some things and he heard some truths. And he went back to the church he was at. And he said, look, we're not teaching the whole Bible. And there's some things that we need to be starting to attend to and starting to follow after. And they said to him, now this is before I was born. So I showed you some time. I was born in 1964. So I showed you how long before that it was. And they said, we're not doing those things that are in the Bible. He had a choice to stay with them. A church that he had built, he gave the land to, and he built the church there. He bought it with his own money and built it. He had a choice to stay there, or as the Bible in Revelation says, come out of her, my people.
Yes.
And he came out, and he came here, and he stood for truth. Amen. So you say, well, what? How do I know? Know this, for one. Follow this, for one.
Amen.
And if it says something in here, and wherever you're attending, or wherever you may go, or where your friends, and they're not following the Word of God, then that needs to be something you need to forsake. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 3, picking up in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, this is Paul speaking, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundations can no man lay, that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if I and man build upon the foundations, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 10 there, he says, according to the grace of God, we're going to use each one of these verses here, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Will you build them? He says, I have laid the foundation, another build thereon. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Are you a wise master builder? Are you building on a good foundation?
Yes, praise God.
Are you building on the foundations of the apostles and Paul? Are you building on the foundations of the Word of God? Or are you building on the foundations of man? And I say that because there are some people out there, they don't have any idea what the Word of God, because they just follow what the pastor says, or what their teachers say. They don't follow the Word of God. In verse 12 there, he goes on, now if any man build thereon, thereupon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble. To put this in simplified terms, if you build on anything other than Jesus Christ, it will fail.
Amen.
Sometimes there's people take a particular doctrine or a particular work or verse, and they emphasize it above everything else. Last week I talked to you about baptism, water baptism. There are some teachings out there that if you're water baptized, as long as you're baptized, you're saved. Doesn't matter what else you do. There are teachings that there is a word that a lot of people in the world use as a denomination. What church are you? I was with somebody this past week, and they asked me where the church was and what denomination. We here are a non-denominational. A denomination is something that somebody emphasizes above Jesus Christ in the Bible. Baptism is one of them. Speaking in tongues is another one. They use those and they emphasize and they raise them up above Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the main thing we need to emphasize.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is who we need to emphasize and raise above any.
Yes, amen.
Christ and his church requires, we've already mentioned this in the past weeks, he requires holiness.
Yes, amen.
He requires righteousness.
Amen.
Many people get these two words confused. Now listen to what I'm saying here. Many people get these words confused with human perfection. There is not a one of us in this room or in the world that has human perfection. We are humans. There is a big difference between making a mistake or even ignorantly sinning than willingly sinning. Knowing sin. Knowing that this is wrong. Knowing something is wrong. If we could use the word of stealing, If I know stealing's wrong, and most of us know stealing's wrong, the word even teaches stealing's wrong, and I steal, sin is applied to us. So there's a difference between holiness and human perfection. We cannot live perfect before one another, but we can live holy and righteous before God because we're obeying the words that Christ gave us.
Amen.
When we obey God's words, we live righteous in His eyes. A couple more verses of scriptures before we close. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and 20, picking up in 21. Again, this is Jesus speaking here. Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Amen.
When we read these verses of scriptures, I don't care who we are, whether we're a pastor, whether we're just been saved, or whether we've been saved for many years, it ought to throw caution to our life. Yes. Verse 22 says, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not done things in your name? Have we not lived? Have we not preached in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? Well, I don't understand all the background of all those things, but Jesus says in verse 23, I never knew you. I don't know you. Even in this week and putting this message, and any time I meditate and think on that, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. I need to make sure that my desires are that of Christ. I need to follow you. I need to, as we sang a song, let the fire of heaven fall on me. As David said, search me, Lord, try me. Lord, I need to emphasize that in my life. Because I don't want to stand before God and find these verses of scriptures come to us. Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which buildeth his house upon a rock. Remember when we said about Paul back there? Paul said, I'm a wise master builder. Are you wise? He says, whosoever heareth these things and doeth them, whosoever readeth the word of God, study the word of God, hears the word of God, and you do them, I will liken to a wise man to build his house upon a rock. Verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and everyone that said, and every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and the house fell, and great was the fall of it. What are you building on this morning?
Yes,
song in our songbook, page 253. Are you building on the rock? Verse 4 says, are you building on the rock? Are you building on a strong foundation that will stand the awful judgment shock? Are you building on a ground? Are you grounded in this great salvation, fastened like an anchor to the rock? Are you building on the rock? Are you building on a sinking sand? Jesus Christ has a church. If you want in that church, you have to go through Jesus Christ. You have to obey His words, follow His words, love His words, desire His words. You have to go through Jesus Christ. He's the door. He's the only way to get in. He's the only way to get in. You can come to me. I can pray. You can sit here and cry. You can sit here and weep. You can sit here and do all kinds of things. And I can pray with you. And I can feel you made it. And prayed through. And we can call you brother. We can call you sister from here on. But by the grace of God, what you need to have is that revelation. I'm saved.
Amen.
Jesus Christ saved me. Brother Doug didn't save me. No man prayed for me and saved me. He might have prayed with me, but Jesus Christ is the one that saved me. And I feel that.
Amen.
I feel that in my heart. I have a knowledge in my mind that I'm saved today. Amen. By the grace of God. And I thank God. Jesus says the gates of hell shall not prevail. I thank God that when we're in the kingdom of God, when we're saved by Jesus Christ, he cannot take us back and put us in that place again. He cannot. He has no power against Jesus Christ. We're saved. A lot of times we get discouraged. A lot of times we feel beat down sometimes. But Jesus will never leave us. He's not going to say, well, just go on and go on about your way. Nope. He is going to do everything he can to help us. As long as we have a desire, Lord, I want to continue to press forward. He'll help us to go forward. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Yes.
Let's stand up and open the psalm book on page 120, 120.
Give me just a second.
Okay.
This is a part of our service, and some of you may or may not know. This is a part of us that we call the altar call. We call an invitation, and this up here is an altar. This is this wooden thing up here is an altar. We can come and we can bow. We can pray. If you have a need for anything, anything, you can come and we'll pray with you. If you want to get saved, you have a need physically, whatever. This is a place where God honors that as we do the altar call.
Amen.
Teach your hymn when I play, let your declare to man the favor they want to her kingdom attain. He must be more again. He must be born again. He must be born again. His words are true, his spirit to you. He must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. His words are true, his spirit to you. He must be born. Your sin is worth, you cannot live best then. If ever in heaven your soul has a place, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. His words are true. His spirit is true. He must be born again. To penance will do, morality to his word. For moral of it, but a Christian made new, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. His words are true, his spirit to you. He must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again.
Service today. Again, there's a plate up here if you're not prepared when we did the offering. So 6 o'clock service this evening. And as we told some different ones, it's a totally different service. I don't preach the same message, so it's a whole different message. So give each and every one of you an invitation.
Yes.
And if you'd like to stand, we'll prepare the service. Jerry,
our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, God, oh God, that we have the privilege, Lord, to sit once again at the sound of your voice. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your message. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your goodness that you bestow upon us, Lord, that we could gather together and hear directly from the throne of God. Lord, we pray that you be with us through the remainder of the day, through the remainder of the week, Lord, that you'd impress these things on our hearts and minds, Lord, that we might know all this well with our soul. We ask you, Lord, that you would give us safely home. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Martin, seeing this one, brother.
Where are you off to?
Okay.
So you want to be leaving?
Yes, yes.
You forgot to turn your off.
Memorial Day in the calendar, the Sunday before that.